Hello and welcome back to another episode of Unscripted. I'm Zenetta Trinique Empower, and today I have Jake's, oh my gosh, redo. Welcome to another episode of Unscripted. I'm Zenetta Trinique Empower, and today I have Jake Steele with me. Hi, Jake.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. Jake is the owner of Junk Rescue and an entrepreneur of many years. He has a plethora of insights on entrepreneurship that we will discuss today. So, Jake, thank you so much again for coming on. How's your day going?
It's good. Busy. Trying to squeeze a lot in, you know, as a small business, you know, you're wearing a lot of hats at all times. We're getting better at delegating those hats, but still busy. Always busy.
What are some of the heaviest hats you wear in your business?
So, my background's marketing. So, I'm involved in that seat. Heavily as well with our team. We do have a team that runs it. But I'm still getting tied more and more with operations. Okay. So for me, again, we have managers, right? That run each department, but I'm very much still involved in like reviewing the systems as well as some people management. We like to call like vibe management too, like vibe managers, like to like the culture, the energy, identifying people issues, and not people issues like the traditional, I feel like, once something happens, like the vibe of the guys pulling them aside, talking to them, giving direction, constantly coaching teams as well. So I'm involved in a lot. And especially to like for me, I was just off the phone in between these two calls. I was talking to our call center manager as well about an issue with the client review and, you know, kind of trying to coach that situation as well. So there's always a lot of management, obviously.
It sounds like your hands are full, but as an entrepreneur, I'm sure you are a believer in systems. So tell me a little bit more about the systems you use to manage your business at this stage.
So yeah, I'm a big believer in tech, right? Because again, it takes the human error and human emotions out of a lot of things. So we use a lot of different tech. We use, you know, obviously we use a company called Vonago for our CRM and field dispatch software. But even then, that CRM has limitations. So we also use HubSpot for additional CRM. And then we also use like things like Whip Around for us where we're in home services, right? So we use like a fleet maintenance software. We also have GPSs in all our trucks that also have like AI facial recognition that gives us driver safety reports on everything. Also, when, you know, when vehicle maintenance is due, we use Zapier for integrations. QuickBooks, like all, again, anything you can imagine, every like part of our business, we use some kind of tech involved. We use CallRail to do our marketing. So all of our phone numbers, right? And a unique dynamic on the website, depending on where you came from, there's a unique dynamic phone number. So we know what marketing campaign it came from. So anywhere, you know, we can sprinkle some tech. We use an LMS software right now to train guys on. It's a learning management software. So like we use ADP. For our HR, but we use every part, like their tech stack. We use everything in the recruitment process. So yeah, like literally any part of the business, there's some kind of tech involved.
Sure. And it sounds like you definitely have the advantage point on the operations side, making things run, but also the marketing apps of making the marketing run as well. But before we go a little bit more into your perspectives in tech, I want to know more about your business. So for those of our listeners who are not familiar with Junk Rescue, can you tell us a little bit more?
Yeah. So in a nutshell, our core business is helping people, you know, alleviate their homes, right? Create space within their homes, right? So again, we do clean outs, single items, people are buying new furniture, they're moving, right? We help, you know, again, on the surface level, people view it as like, oh, we're the muscle and brawn, right, to come in and remove the items. But really, we are a service-based, convenience-based business because, again, you can get your son to do it or your neighbor and everything else. People don't want to, right? So really, you know, coming in, they need to know that we have trusted professionals that go and stuff home, make it easy. But we're really big into our logistics as well. Like, we do same-day, next-day service, like, within an hour. Getting out there and taking a look at that. And then we also rent dumpsters, so if you want to do it on your own time. And it's also can be more budget friendly. We have that option. And then we also do like lot maintenance. So we do like quartering for parking lots. And then we do a little bit of demolition as well. Not a lot. But our main thing is really about like, again, like let's take a situation where you're moving and, you know, you're about to go to closing and your new stuff can't fit in the new home. we'll come in, remove everything that's left over, and we'll source separate everything. So between donation, trash, recycling, and take it where it needs to go. So it's all, you know, one-stop shop where you don't have to deal with all those headaches, because people don't realize, you know, one, like physical doing it too, like it hurts. Like you will, you know, again, like you start picking stuff up, putting it down. It doesn't seem like much, but that's why it's always a running joke. Like trying to get someone to help you move is really, really hard, right? But then you go try to take it to Goodwill, and Goodwill has a surplus right now, and they don't take much stuff now too. So you might get turned away, and then you have to figure out what you're going to do with it. And then township regulations are getting tougher and tougher because there is such a surplus, right? Landfills are getting full. So we take all that headache out and do everything for you.
That sounds really helpful. I know when I move, I hire someone. I don't do that.
Yeah.
So I can totally understand.
I don't even do it, right? Like, yeah. So
you mentioned that there's a surplus at Goodwill and common places. Everyday individuals may normally choose to take these things. From a sustainability standpoint, can you tell us a little bit more about what's happening in the industry with your line of work?
Yeah. So what's going on in the U.S. is not sustainable. So other countries are ahead of us on the curve, especially countries like Sweden, Finland, Netherlands, that part of Europe. They're getting really good with like renewable energy. Even what we think is recyclable, a lot of it doesn't end up being recycled. Our filtering and our systems just aren't up to par. Landfills are getting overrun. There's a lot of things that like you don't even realize when you go to a landfill that can contaminate the water source low. You know, part of the issue is like we live in a consumer buy society. And with plastics being involved now, right, in the last, you know, what, roughly 100 years, where things are shifting from metal, because metal is actually a lot easier to recycle. We're realizing, again, it's getting cheaper and cheaper to manufacture stuff, and we're getting more wasteful. Like, one of the things with inflation, one of the only things that actually is deflated is a lot of, like, technology. On these computers right now, and flat screens, and, you know, I just got a new one for my office above, so my home office above my desk. That's 55 inches with $180.
What?
Right? Like a plasma, yeah. I don't care if I bought it in the back. But like a plasma used to be, you know, big heavy TV and be like $5,000. So we're seeing that get cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. And electronics is just one area that you're seeing it in. But like, again, my desk that I'm sitting at right now was, you know, $80 off Amazon. Like, we live in a disposable society.
Hmm. So then I want to ask philosophically, and because I'm also a marketer, is it really junk? Are you really rescuing junk? It could be, you know, they say one man's trash is another man's treasure. I think that's a good philosophy for individuals to look at their things a bit differently, to say, hey, Jake, I have some stuff, but I want to do good with this stuff, right? So that's just something I thought about listening to your insights on the current state of sustainability here.
Yeah, and that's where, like, a lot of it, right, like, you also, like, you have a lot of things that affect it, like social media, right? Everyone wants the newest, greatest stuff, right, instead of the hand-me-down, pass around. Like, I heard from kids in high school right now, like, Stanley water bottles are not cool. Like, your water bottle is a status symbol now, right?
It is. Like, my daughter just ordered another Stanley yesterday. I said, you already have.
Or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Stanley is the one that is cool, but something isn't cool anymore. And I was like, it's a water bottle, right? But, like, so you look at these things and it's like, oh, it's simple. Just give it away. And people want new, right? They want fresh. They want what's, you know, in trending, right? And all that kind of stuff. Before, where you used to have things passed down for generations, but it's cheap to buy stuff now. So we buy a lot more than we need. Like, that's the whole reason we exist. Like, the storage, you know, not every country even has storage. By the way, like, the only countries that even have junk removal are US, Canada, and Australia too. So, it's not going to be fully sustainable, but again, it is, you know, why we have a business.
Wow. Well, I love Facebook Marketplace. I have found some really cool things on there, including art, you know, because as you mentioned, some people are moving and they're just like, please get rid of this. I don't care where it goes. Jake, help. So let's go back to the tech stack and some of the more technical things you're working on, especially around like innovation. What are some things that you have been doing recently to evolve and make efficient all of the hats that you wear?
So, again, we're always looking for the latest technology, and we're always looking for what technology integrates. So for example, I use like our truck maintenance software. That integrates with our GPS software and the computers inside the trucks. So we can get alerts when guys are speeding in those trucks specifically, and then the cameras can match their face and everything else. We know when it's due for maintenance. So we're always looking for tech that integrates. But now, especially with like webhooks and open APIs, right? A lot of software, you can really integrate a lot of different software together pretty seamlessly. If you have your team that knows what they're doing. And then on top of that, obviously AI is obviously what I think everyone needs to learn more of. So we tried doing a lot with some of our like digital sales process, replacing chatbots and anything else. You have to train it very, very well. I do believe that we are probably a year or two away from some really good, like out of the box solutions. We don't have to do as much. And you can just be like, I want an AI agent, I want an AI call center, whatever it may be, and you can just buy it. We're not quite there yet, but you should start learning as much as you can about it.
Nice. So as you look ahead, to expand your business, of course, as a business owner, we always want to figure out how to grow. What are some key areas that you've noticed as opportunity zones for you, in the next few quarters?
So we just had a conversation before on content, especially content creation. Using your brand. There's a company that we're looking at that again use their brand to like obviously we're in home services, we are in blue collar type of work, and they use their brand, their content marketing strategy to have a partnership with a boot company, right? And now they're getting advertising dollars off of that, right? It's another revenue stream as long as well as expanding your brand. So that's one, avenue looking at it. As we're looking to look at different like strategies right now. There's a lot trending. I think again, that's why we're on this call right now. Like podcasts are replacing blogs, right? And there's SEO value to that. And the algorithms, right, are gonna be able to, do more and more and search the content that was spoken in the video, right? There's algorithms right now that are coming out for facial recognition to note and say, okay, who was speaking in that video? So they can know, like again, as you grow it that way. Yeah, attention is the right the new currency, right, that everyone's really competing on. And yeah, that it is getting very, very saturated, but the algorithms are getting more and more specific too.
Yep, they are. And maybe isn't so much the algorithms are more specific. I think that they are more nuanced, and that may be the same. That may be the same. But for example, I was reading the threads about threads and how you see what you see, and it was so interesting. Even when we know like eye tracking software exists for websites, I've designed websites. And knowing where the eyes are naturally stopping on a particular page, that information is also being tracked on Threads. It observes which conversations you look at a little bit more, which ones you scroll past. It has created a behavior in me when I see things I do not want to see. I just, oh my God, scroll, please tweak this off of, this region of my phone. So the algorithms are very interesting, because it finds things that you didn't know you liked, and it continues to serve it up. But then you get in a content silo, so where now it's an echo chamber of just a small portion of interest. So
Well, and
I
that's where you're
find the
seeing,
algorithm interesting.
yeah, and that's where like politics really comes into play, right? Like, again, don't care what side you are, but the whole point of it is like you're being fed the algorithm more and
For
more.
sure.
So for example, I actually got involved with like crypto recently, and I don't ever use Twitter X, right? So I downloaded X for that, and everything I was like involved with crypto. Completely different algorithm.
It'll always be Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter. Yeah, always, right? But my algorithm was completely different. I was getting things I've never seen before. And X, Twitter, right, as it's gonna be a different platform in general. But it was wildly different. Because again, it didn't have any other prior information to go off of. So yeah, I'm just very big on like I'm skeptic on everything I see, and I'm always gonna go try to find the other side of that story. So yeah.
I think that's an important part of being a responsible digital citizen is asking questions, being curious, and making sure you're not being programmed because it is a sure mechanism to instill narratives, right? So speaking of narratives, as a business owner yourself, what are your top five pieces of advice you would give to someone starting a business right now based off the things that you've learned?
So I think it's really knowing what you're getting into. So I always recommend the one book I always start with is The E-Myth.
I love that book.
Yep.
I have.
Yeah.
Building yourself out of your business was the biggest takeaway I got from that book. I've read it a few times, but
yeah,
building SOPs and a system to where now you are able to at least emancipate yourself from your business at some point from a leadership perspective. But yeah. I love that book.
Yeah. So we're talking to Michael Gerber about like doing our own E-Myth with him. It was very, very expensive. Nice. So not on the card right now. But first thing is it talked about that entrepreneurial seizure, right? And really know like, hey, are you just, you know, in a technician type of like entrepreneurial seizure, and you're just like, hey, I'm a master technician. I can go do this my own, right? And it's like, master technician just means whatever your day job is, your frontline doing the work itself. Once you become an entrepreneur, you're doing everything else. So you went from one job to 1,000 jobs, right? Like you don't understand that. So know that what you're getting into. The second thing would be is like also like go work for somebody doing, because maybe you don't work at that job. You're like, you know what? I really want to be in, my passion is in like, I love sports, right? So I want to be I want to open my own training facility. But you've never done it. You never worked there and everything else. Like, go work at that company. Go volunteer. Go offer to work for free. Like, knowledge is such a great asset, right? And it has value. So that's the second thing. The third thing is that it's like, really look at the industry trend that you're going into. Like, I don't know if anyone's seen that clip from Bezos when Bezos started Amazon, right? I forget exactly what he did before. He was like some kind of financial analysis. The analyst, I think it was the Wall Street, whatever he did, I forget exactly. But he's like, well, why did I, make the switch? And he's like, well, I just noticed the internet was growing. Yeah, like 1,000x, a month or a year, whatever it was. And he's like, I want to be that. That's an emerging space. I don't care what it is. And then from there, it went to, well, what would do well in there? He's like, well, and then he came up with books at the time, right? That Amazon was a bookstore originally online. Mm-hmm. Because it had massive reach. So he looked at that and saw how big was the opportunity. So how emerging was the space and how big was the opportunity? I think that's another thing to look at. If you're looking, again, it depends what your goals are, right? Like if you're just one of the, you really like baking and you want a small business, the E-Myth actually talks about like, maybe just be a baker though. Like, because you're no longer a baker when you start running a business, right?
Yep.
And the fourth thing I think what's really important to understand is going forward is what does the overhead and the people management part of it look like when it's mature? Because that's a very distinct difference. Like, right? Like, do you think you're going to have a 5-person business, a 50-person business, a 1,000-person business, right? They're all very different infrastructures and businesses to manage. And just understanding that, like, for example, we were on a business, like I said, junk removal and clean house dumpsters, everything else between. But we have to do a ton of fleet maintenance because of that, because we have trucks. Like, do you want to be involved with having to work with trucks and fleet maintenance? Is like, you have to really look at all the things, like your cost of goods sold, right? Like the things that make you able to do your job. What's going to be like to manage those assets? And again, for us, like people is another big part of that. So, just know what you're getting into. So again, all of it comes out of kind of do your research. Like that's they're all based on that same fundamental factor.
Nice. Awesome, Jake. Well, before we go, we'd love to let our listeners or viewers know where to find your business if they are in your area.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, they can go to junk-rescue.com to find anything about the company there. They connect with me on LinkedIn or any of my socials as well. Again, it's under Jake Still on there. I have a lot of guys that like, I really like the part of coaching and giving back to that. And just talking to people and pointing them in the right direction. Like I could talk about this stuff all day. And I think it's once you learn that you start growing your business, you're no longer just doing that business. Like, we're in the trash industry. But I view as a business owner just like anybody else.
Exactly. Amazing. All right. Well, you heard Jake. You can connect with him on LinkedIn at Jake Still. It's junk-removal.com. And before we go, because I just love books, what's one more book that you love and will recommend to us right now?
So I think I love this question, but I think it's misused sometimes, right? Because I think it's always about what your situation is and what do you actually need. I believe personally, a lot of people need less right now. There's a lot of information out there. So one of the books I really love is Essentialism by George McCallum.
Okay.
And it's really about like doing less, but do the less better, right? Get less with, or get more with less. And I think it's really about simplifying our lives a little bit more. One of my top five books.
Nice. I love that. And I will look that up because I believe in minimalism. So it sounds like that's right on fire. All right. Well, this was a wonderful conversation. Jake, you have an amazing afternoon. Thank you so much for joining me on Unscripted. I am Zanetta Chanique Empower. Have a good afternoon.
Yeah, you too.